today was a day where, you know, like you said, I got off to a great start, and then things got a little dicey there in the middle, and I did a good job of staying patient and battling back, and yeah, just looking to do more of that tomorrow.
Well then,
enjoy that.
What a master Saturday that was, and what a master Sunday we have in prospect. Absolutely buzzing, cannot wait. It is one of the great days of the year, and it is finally upon us, ladies and gents. So hello, welcome to the penultimate Masters commute. Oh, don't say that, only one more left after this. Brought to you by the Bunkered Podcast in association with Callaway Golf. Hello, good evening, good morning, whatever. Michael McEwen here. Hope you are well, hope you are suitably excited. I hope you have all of your drinks, your snacks, all lined up, ready to go for sitting in front of the telly all day today, enjoying what promises to be a memorable and potentially epic conclusion to the 88th Masters Tournament. We are here in the press building, back in our lovely, lovely padded room. Some may say that that is exactly the type of environment that Alex Perry should spend most of his time in. Hello, Mr. Perry.
I mean, what an introduction.
It's one of our best.
I like that we call this the commute, even for the Sunday round, when in reality...
People work on Sundays, Alex.
I agree with that, but a commute, really, what we're talking about here is the time it takes to get from your bedroom to your sofa.
Yeah.
Almost
so
certainly.
So thanks for listening, and we will see you again.
In your pants. If you're in your pants, let us know.
That's fine too.
That's the kind of thing we want to know.
What do you think we're wearing just now? No, they would frown upon that,
oh,
I suspect.
God, people definitely listen to us talk while naked.
Oh,
I wonder if anyone's ever listened to this podcast while, you know.
Yeah, there's a thought.
You know.
Yeah, maybe they're doing it right now. Hey, guys. So
I thought you were about to break into an impression then. I'm very excited.
No, let's not do that. We had enough fun last night at the Chick-fil-A drive-thru when I think maybe, look, Fridays at any major tournament are long days, but particularly when you're the other side of the world from home, that's when jet lag really hits me. It starts to kick in. And I think delirium just took over us about 10 o'clock last night. So we had a little bit of fun at the window of Chick-fil-A. You can go onto Alex's Twitter account and watch it all for yourself. But suffice to say, it's incredible. So,
that's all you're getting.
That's all you're getting. So, Alex, to the golf. How did you enjoy your Masters Saturday?
I mean, what a day. Just so much going on. You've got Tiger Woods shooting the highest round he's ever carded in a major championship.
Plus side, back-to-back days with records broken.
Back-to-back, yeah, exactly. Yep, he's writing more and more paragraphs into those history books. And it looks like, I'm buzzing about this, it looks like he will be playing on Sunday. The tee times haven't been announced. I'm looking at the scoreboard, and I'm, look, I don't know if this is how it works. I'm pretty sure it does, but it looks like he will be playing with the amateur Neil Shipley.
Almost certain.
Which, I mean, if you're Neil Shipley tonight, imagine, would you sleep?
No, absolutely that guy, no. To answer your question, not a chance would I get a wink's sleep. But that is what dreams are made of, and that is the beauty of major championships. That is the beauty of this game. A guy like Neil Shipley, who's just starting out in his career, the only amateur to make the cut. He's guaranteed to be part of the Butler Cabin ceremony tomorrow night, no matter what else. He is looking at playing golf on Masters Sunday with a 5-time champion, a 15-time major winner, an 82-time winner on the PGA Tour. The guy that spent more weeks at world number one than anyone else, and the man who changed the game, Tiger Woods.
And Shipley had a double on 18 as well. I wonder if he had like a... I need to double check, but I wonder if he had a little... He might have had a little tap in. He was like, just gonna Victor Hovland this one.
Victor Hovlanding the new Hibsing. So as we're recording this, the play hasn't quite finished, so we'll be keeping an eye on the scoreboard whilst we're doing this. We're reacting live to what's happening. But Max Homa and Bryson DeChambeau, the last group on the course, are coming up the 18th as we speak. So right now, it looks like Scottie Scheffler is going to take a one-shot lead into the final round, the 2022 champion. He is 7 under par, timely birdie at the last to give him that advantage right now over Colin Morikawa, seeking his third major, seeking the third leg of the career Grand Slam. Could we see Colin Morikawa win the Masters and the US Open this year to become only the sixth player to complete the slam? Who knows? Max Homa, obviously, like I said, is playing the 18th at the moment. He is 5 under, a further shot adrift. Then we have just the story of the week for me, quite frankly. Ludvig Åberg on his major, never mind Masters debut, is 4 under par. The only player to break 70 in those incredibly tough conditions on Friday. He shot a 70, in fact, today. And in fact, we're just seeing there, Bryson DeChambeau has birdied the last. So he's 3 under, one behind Åberg, with Xander Schauffele, Cam Davis, and Nikolaj Højgaard. Whoa, all on 2 under par. Højgaard, remember, at one time was leading the Masters just a few hours ago. 5 bogeys on the spin sees him drop back down. But he's not out of it. 5 shots can go very quickly, but they can also be made up very quickly. That is the beauty of the Masters. So we're just waiting for Max Homa to finish up. Alex, I am, as you can probably tell, quite excited about the prospect that we've got. I mean, so many different storylines to pick apart. You're quite right about Neil Shipley and Tiger Woods. That's hugely exciting. Before we talk about the guys at the right end of the leaderboard, let's touch on Tiger, because we spent a long time yesterday waxing lyrical about just how impressive it was that he extended his cut streak and took that record outright. Went out today, didn't look right from the off, said afterwards that he had a really bad warm-up, and ended up shooting an 82. Honestly, it was a tough watch, wasn't it?
It was. He was struggling from the off. And, I mean, little behind the scenes for the listeners here, we had actually drafted a Tiger Woods withdraws from the tournament article to hit publish when the inevitable happened. That's how we felt about it. Was it on 9 when he hit out the pine straw and then he did that sort of thing winced. Where he recoils, doesn't he? And then he does that thing with his back where he sort of arches it. But he never looked right. And look, I mean, the guy's a walking miracle. I'm not going to sit here and criticise him for what he's doing, because, like you say, he broke that cut record yesterday. He's now carded the highest. Also, I want to say, fair play for then fronting up to the media.
100%.
Because how many players, whether in golf or any other sport, would have just completely shied away from that? Just gone. He had every right to just slope off back to the locker room, champions locker room, and just get away from it all, start thinking about what was going to happen next.
I've seen players shoot 72 and decline media duties afterwards, never mind 82. That's players with, as Ewan Murray at The Guardian put it, 1% of Tiger's talent and 1% of his CV.
Exactly.
So, yeah, nothing but credit. Well done.
He said Tiger. He was... I liked that the first thing he said was, I wasn't hitting it well, I wasn't putting it well. Well, yeah, we were watching. Like, we saw that. But no, he said, my team will get me ready. It will be a long night and a long warm-up session, but we'll be ready. I mean, there's every possibility he wakes up tomorrow and just says, I absolutely cannot do this. Obviously, there's one person that we've already spoken about who will be really hoping that isn't the case. But no, look, bogeys at 4, 9, 12, couple of doubles in there as well. And then he bogeyed the last 4, 2 birdies. It was just miserable to watch. And again, I don't want to slip into any kind of critical thinking, because he's already defied everything we thought. I didn't think he was going to make the cut. I didn't think he was going to make the third. I didn't think he was going to make the end of this round at several points today. So just really genuinely hoping. I suspect his team at Sunday Red are probably the most keen to get him out there.
Max Homa has just finished up with a par on the last. So yeah. He is -5. So as it stands, very quickly, just a recap. Scottie Scheffler leads the way by 1, -7. Colin Morikawa is on -6. Then Max Homa on 5 under par. Ludvig Åberg on 4 under. Then we have DeChambeau 3 under. And like I said earlier, Schofield, Davies, Højgaard are all 2 under par. Listen, just in the point of Tiger scores and kind of relevant to the leaderboard I've just read out there, Alex, it is worth pointing out, only 12 players currently are under par.
Yep.
The conditions today, whilst better than they were the first couple of days, still not easy. I mean, that course, it was very, very hot out there at times. The course firmed up and there was still the wind was gusting. I spoke to Jason Day after his round, more on that shortly, and, you know, he pointed out that it was a very different challenge, but still as tough a challenge, if you like, today versus the first 2 days. So an 82, all things considered for Tiger, listen, it'd be very easy to beat my stick over it, but no, I don't think that would be appropriate. You know, it was probably the best he could have hoped for today, but absolutely, you know, relative to what other people were scoring, not the... Sounds strange to say, but not a disaster.
No. And it's going to be 5 degrees hotter tomorrow.
Oh, Celsius, joy.
That is.
So. Fantastic. I will bring the factor 5,000. So, listen, let's look at Scotty Scheffler then. He's the man who's out in front. He started the day 6 under par. He improved on it by 1. A bit of an up and down round for Scotty. Got as high as 8 at one point. Had a 2-shot lead. Then saw... You know, he dropped, I think that was at the 3rd, he picked up the shot, then handed one back straight away at the 4th. A double on 10, a pretty weird double, then he dropped another to get to back to 4 under. I guess the point there is, this guy has no quit. The mistakes he makes are few and far between, and it's going to take somebody doing something pretty special, I suspect, tomorrow to get between him and the green jacket.
Yeah, or of course, as we've said several times this week, Mrs. Scheffler. Going yes. into labour. I wonder at what point he would actually just say, no, I'm staying and playing. Like, if he found out, say, for example, when he was on the 3rd or the 6th or the 9th or the 12th, like, how far into tomorrow does he go if she was to go into labour before he goes, yeah, I need to go? I suspect he would stay regardless.
Do you think so?
How would you get that information to him? Are the caddies allowed their phones? They wouldn't be able to get the information to him, would they?
I'm sure there'd be some way of like somebody standing at the ropes.
If we see a green jacket power walking at any point tomorrow, we know what's happening.
With no, a hospital bag and some hot towels.
Yeah, I love a major championship when the players are forced to grind it out the way they have today. It's why I'm such a fan of the US Open year in, year out. But it's the fact that the winning score is probably going to be under 10. I think really like that.
If someone can get to
under 10, not 10 under. I think if you get to 10 under, if you get into double figures under par, I think you've won this tournament. And if you haven't, then someone's gone very, very low. I can't call this. I'm like, obviously your brain goes Scheffler, but I wonder if actually the fact that his wife is so close to giving birth, I wonder how much that actually plays on his mind. I mean, it hasn't been playing on his mind for the first 3 days by the looks of it, but I mean...
Nappy factor. That's what it is, nappy factor.
Nappy factor, indeed.
It's a thing.
For the so just put him down for the PGA, basically, is what we're saying. Homer, obviously, doesn't have the experience of getting over the line. We talked about it last night, just the worst major record. But sometimes I wonder if that might help, because he can just go out there and play without any kind of pressure. He can just say, well, he would never admit it out loud, but he can go out there and play as if, you know, if he shoots 80, well, okay, I've never done that in a major. I've never contended in a major before. So Ludvig Åberg, exactly the same. Absolutely nothing to lose. And he has just the most ludicrous amount of talent. DeChambeau, I think he's lost it today, a three over 75.
Looked fidgety, looked uneasy.
Yeah.
Sort of brain
horrible
farts.
Horrible body language. Had a bit of a rules disaster on one of the holes where he was just flubbing around with TIO and stuff. Davis, Højgaard, they're out of it. I mean, you have to say, I honestly think it's between those top four. And I may even take Homer out of it. I think Scheffler, Morikawa, Åberg. I think one of those three is your winner.
It's funny you say that, because we've got some questions we'll come into in part two, but Andrew Hunter sent us one and he says it is the main question for any major. How far back is too far back? So you're saying that Scheffler, Morikawa, Homa, or Åberg?
I think that's more, that's my prediction, yes. I think I would also add that if you beat Scotty Scheffler tomorrow...
You'll win the green jacket.
You are in a green jacket.
I totally and utterly agree. We'll throw it to the break here. Stick with us. We'll be right back just after this.
The Bunker Podcast is brought to you by the new Paradigm AI Smoke Driver from Callaway.
The new AI Smoke Driver from Callaway has multiple sweet spots across the entire face.
Intelligently mapped by AI using real swing data, making AI smoke an average of 7 yards longer. You won't be just longer from one spot, you'll be sweeter from every spot.
The new AI Smoke Drivers from Callaway.
Welcome back. Part two of today's Masters Commute from the Bunker Podcast in association with Callaway Golf. Michael and Alex coming to you live from the Augusta National Press building. Hello. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for your time. So we spoke a lot about some of the big stories, if you like, Alex, from the third round. Scottie Scheffler, obviously, we touched on. But let's have a quick chat about Colin Morikawa before we get to the other listener questions. This has kind of come out of nowhere for me. Yeah. Morikawa hasn't really been firing on all cylinders over the last, I even want to say like 12 to 18 months. Something hasn't seemed quite right, but he went into this week really, really under the radar. I'll be honest, I didn't even consider him when we were doing our big preview pod. What was that, just over a week ago now? So he's started the day in 3 under. He's gone out and he has shot a 69, and he's currently 6 under. He's the closest challenger to Scottie Scheffler, and he'll be playing alongside him. My question to you is this: in the context of somebody to unnerve and unsettle Scottie Scheffler, is Colin Morikawa the most, if you were choosing somebody, would he be the guy that you would pick, considering his major record, considering his unflappability?
Of course. He's done the job in 2 other majors. So it's funny, isn't it? Because I don't think we've ever discussed Morikawa as a potential Grand Slam champion. But as you said at the top, if he slips into that green jacket tomorrow, he's a US Open away from the green jacket. That's crazy.
It's wild, isn't it?
Absolutely crazy.
I was looking at the numbers earlier. And so, I mean, we're getting a little bit carried away. And granted, that it's a big, big if. But if he wins the Masters and if he wins the US Open, he will have completed the career Grand Slam in 19 major starts. It took Tiger Woods 21, and that is the shortest span of any of the five who've done it. So we're talking about potentially not just career-defining for Colin Morikawa, but we're talking about era-defining golf, potentially, from a guy who was playing Walker Cup just, what, 6-7 years ago?
Yep.
It's extraordinary how quickly he's risen through the ranks, and even more extraordinary that he's been able to achieve all this and have a little bit of a slump in between. It's unreal.
I can't remember where I ranked him in my pre-tournament listings, but I do remember dropping him down a few purely based on his form. But then I moved him back up a couple more because I just thought,
because it's Colin Morikawa,
this guy is a ball striker's dream. I mean, in terms of his iron play, he's arguably the best in the field, if not one of the top 2 or 3. And for that reason, you just can't rule him out.
Yeah.
And add to that his incredible major record.
I think we're going to see a flush off tomorrow because you've got the two, frankly, best ball strikers.
Flush off.
Yeah. You've got the two best ball strikers, I think, in the field, in the final group. They say that this is a second shot golf course, and whether that's a cliche or not, or whether you choose to believe it or not, is up to you. But the stats suggest that it is. So these two guys going at hammer and tongs, they could potentially, I mean, again, getting carried away, but they could potentially separate themselves from the field in a way that we haven't seen from a final group since Mickelson and Stenson at Troon in 2016. Yeah. So golf purists should be very, very excited about what could unfold over the next few hours. Colin Morikawa, by the way, you ranked 15th of the players.
As high as
15. Wow. His Masters record, tied 44th. Tied 18th, 5th, and tied 10th. He has a sneaky, sneaky good record around here.
So he's that low because based purely on his form.
Yeah, exactly that.
Sorry, Colin. You have proved me wrong. and I'm okay with it. I'm fine with that.
We have questions that I'd like to turn our attention to, if that's all right.
Go on.
Steve the Ref has been in touch. Hi, Steve. Nice to hear from you. Excluding past winners, how many get auto entry to the 2025 Masters? Top 5, top 10, top 15. Now, I can't help but think that Steve is actually quizzing us and does know the answer, but I believe it's the top 12 get in.
Because that's how McIntyre got in, wasn't it?
Yeah,
he finished
exactly.
On the button.
So there's a lot of players there with a lot to play for going into this final
round. I think also today, if you look at Tyrrell Hatton's quotes I think he said something like, oh, what do I need to get in next year? It's 12, isn't it? So
you look at guys further down the leaderboard, you know, Lucas Glover, Chris Kirk, you know, guys like that, Mathieu Pavon, they are all hovering just outside that top 12 mark just now. So, yeah, there's obviously more than the green jacket to play for tomorrow. That's clearly the biggest thing. But, you know, we shouldn't really forget that for other guys, there's a bit at stake. Should also add, Alex, prize money was announced earlier today for this week, and it's $20 million.
$20 million purse.
Biggest ever for Masters?
Biggest ever.
Yep.
3 point...
Something.
Seven?
Yeah.
To the winner? 3.6 to the winner?
Million. Yeah.
Yeah. It's
a big payday.
It's interesting, isn't it? I was looking back through the prize money for previous years, and the first few editions of the Masters, it was $1,500, which in today's money, adjusted for inflation, is about $35,000. So I was looking at it thinking it was going to be like several, like, you know, like a million or something. It's like $35,000. I was like, oh, okay. I told you the Masters wasn't good.
James Dickinson asks, does Fleetwood, Tommy Fleetwood, have a chance? Now, Tommy Fleetwood is one of the 12 players currently in red numbers, but he is amongst the group on one under, so he's barely
in
there.
Does he have a chance at a top 10, is that what he's asking? Because if so, yes.
I think he's asking if he's got a chance at the green jacket. Six shots back. Six shots, Alex, are we really ruling that out? Is he too far?
I mean, he has to shoot 64, really, doesn't he?
He could, though.
Of course he can. He absolutely can. He's had a 63 in a major before.
So to answer James' question, if you're to percentage his chances, Tommy Fleetwood's chances?
I'm not data golf. I don't know, 10%?
Okay, there you go.
4%?
So the answer, James,
What are numbers? What do these things mean?
James, the answer is yes, he does, but not much, according to Alex. There, let me see.
He's playing with Cam Young as well. That's one for the ladies, isn't it? If that's a featured group, there's going to be a lot of women tuning into that.
The hirsute pairing. Barry Richardson, why does Bryce Ritchie hate Dame Laura Davies so much? What? Now,
you'll have to ask him.
I think I know what you're talking about, Barry. Bryce has maybe made a mention or two on Twitter of Dame Laura's commentary. Listen, that's a question for him. We'll let Bryce answer that next week when we do our full Masters recap. But I will say this, Bryce doesn't hate anybody. So he's
apart
maybe just
from Rangers.
Apart from Rangers, yes. He's maybe just, you know what, I'll let Bryce take that, but
no.
Suffice to Leave say, Barry, way. Rest assured, he doesn't hate Dame Laura. He just hates watching it on TV. He'd much rather be here.
I'm just having a little flick through the leaderboard, and again, this isn't confirmed, but I think Eric Cole and Eric Van Rooyen are going to be playing together. I wonder if that's the first time two Erics have played together. And also, I quite like this one, Matthew Fitzpatrick and Patrick Reed, which fans of Richard Osman's House of Games will enjoy.
Matthew Fitzpatrick Reed.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
That was the nerdiest thing I've ever said in this podcast.
Well, on there. You
go.
Competitive field, but it's up there. Jack Fenwick asks, will Rory ever win the Masters? Jack says, I'm saying no. What is Alex Perry saying?
Alex Perry is saying what Alex Perry has said for a long time, which is Rory's just going to backdoor it when no one thinks he's going to win. What else does he do? He has tried everything. I mean, I think next year he just basically has to just show up on Thursday morning and just walk straight to the first tee and don't talk to anyone. Stop talking, Rory. Stop talking about it. If you get asked, I don't want to talk about the Masters. Mm-hmm. Just don't, like, he talks himself out of it every single year. I mean, this year his body language was just horrific from the start. Mm-hmm. I mean, tomorrow he's going to shoot 64 and finish in the top 10. We all know that's going to happen. And then we're all just going to say, oh, imagine if you'd just done that. Oh, it's every year.
I mean, look, it was one under today. It wasn't.
But he was six over time. Yesterday.
Yeah, exactly.
Or I think he's five over, sorry.
71, 77, 71. Mm-hmm. He's out of it. I mean, look, he's three over par. He's not going to win it this year, Jack. But I do believe that Rory can. I think that Rory's capable. I know that Rory's capable. He's one of the best players, frankly, ever to have played the game. I will say this. My faith and my expectation is now a little bit out of balance with my hope that he does it. I would love Rory to do it, but I'm starting to lose a little bit of belief with every year that passes. You have to remember, in the 10 years now that he's had, or that he's come to the Masters looking to complete the Slam, I can think of only one occasion when he's realistically contended. So that's not great. First of all, he needs to figure out a way to contend around here, mm-hmm. and then we'll worry about trying to win it.
We should probably add that he is 3 over par, as you just said, mm-hmm. and we also said that 10 under probably wins this. So just a little 59 for tomorrow for Rory. Green jacket, isn't it?
Somebody
imagine doing that. Imagine shooting 50. That is the most Rory McIlroy thing ever, actually, now I think about it.
Yeah.
Just shoots 59 to win the Grand Slam when everyone had ruled him out.
Somebody asked Brooks Koepka earlier in the week if he believed that in the right conditions, somebody could shoot a 59 round here. And Koepka's answer was brilliant. He said, "But have you played it?" And the guy obviously thought he was being quite smart and replied, "Well, not yet." And Koepka just goes, "Yeah, you can tell asking that question." A few more questions just before we knock it on the head. Tom Hosey, a longtime listener of the pod, hello Tom, says, should every major be phone free? It's so good to see people actually watching the golf rather than trying to film it. Yes.
Yes.
And for the record, so should every gig.
Everything.
Be. Yes.
Just leave your phone in your pocket, you nerd. It's, we had this discussion earlier at our desks, and it's just so nice being out there. And although I would say the times that I've been out over the last few days, that's when you notice the slow play even more, just how long it is between groups at holes. Because normally, if I was at, say, the Open and I was stood by a green or a tee or whatever, I would just be getting my phone out and having a little flick while waiting for the next group. When suddenly you're just left, and if you're on your own and you've got no one to talk to, it's like I'm just staring at an empty golf course. But
I mean, there are worse golf courses to stay at.
Exactly. This was, I mean, this comment was born from your piece that you did yesterday about people watching and eavesdropping on people around Augusta. And I mean, there's nowhere better to do it than here. But yeah, absolutely bang on. Let's just ban phones. They're horrific. Like, I mean, gigs.
Stop
everything.
Filming it. I don't want to see it.
I know. I went
live in the moment, people.
I went to a gig with my brother and we had to move. This was October, September, I think. And we literally had to move because the girl in front of us was just holding her phone up and filming the whole thing. Like, you're never watching that video back. You're not. And this was a big comeback tour as well. Like, you haven't seen these three play in this band for 15 years.
It was Blink-182 for that record, ladies and gents. Because I know you're all wondering.
Didn't want to say that.
No, you're quite right. I think that's one of the problems with, going to sound like old man yelling at cloud here, but one of the problems with people today, society today, our heads are in our phones all the time, and then you come to a place like this, you shouldn't have your head in the phone, and the fact that they insist that you don't, the fact that they have a rule that you don't, it's amazing just to watch all these people and see their reactions in real time, the oohs, the ahs, the raised eyebrows, the excitement. It's a lovely little throwback to how life was before Sony Ericsson and whatnot and, you know, came along and ruined it for everybody. Bloody Nokia.
3210.
Yeah, Snake was great and everything, but yeah, you ruined life. One thing very quickly before we go, somebody has DM'd me and said, what's all this about Jason Day? And I did mention that earlier. So yeah, Jason Day, you may have seen the outfit he was wearing yesterday. It was quite bold, it was quite loud, the Malbon logo.
Garish is probably
garish
the
is
word,
a great word to describe it. He was asked by Augusta National to remove it before he went out for his second round. So he had it on as he completed his first round on Friday morning, because obviously he didn't get to finish on Thursday. And then in between the first and the second round, Augusta National, it seems, according to Jason himself, did ask him to remove it. I won't say any more than that. Go to the Bunkered website and check it out. All the details that you need are there. In fact, all the details that you need for everything to do with the Masters are right there, bunkered.co.uk. Obviously, check out our social media channels as well. We'll be across it throughout Sunday. And yeah, there's nothing really left to say apart from Alex, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Enjoy Masters Sunday. Thank you, Callaway, for your continued support. And to you for listening. As I said at the top, and I mean it sincerely, Masters Sunday is one of the great days in the sporting calendar. So sit back, relax, soak it all in, enjoy every minute, and let's hope that we get a conclusion to the tournament that we all want and that we can all enjoy.
It's going to be a thrilling one. It's going to be epic. It's going to be memorable. And I absolutely cannot wait for it all to happen. So until tomorrow night, by which time we will know who is the new recipient of a brand new lovely green jacket. Thank you very much for listening. And it's bye-bye for now.